going about topless now, right? So I'm fucking, I'm having a wee, taking the wee man out to Palm Beach, do you know what I mean?
Yay!
And then my living room door got kicked open, and then stepped a squad of police. I'm not even funny, I genuinely thought you were speaking Irish. I was like, uh-huh.
I like kneecap as well, yes.
I had trials for my school football team. The coach called me in, he went, listen, you're not in the school football team. But he handed me a letter that was from the IFA, and it said Northern Ireland on the top. So I thought I was getting scouted for the Northern Ireland, like under 15s. Opened it and it said Northern Ireland cerebral palsy team. And I was like, what the fuck's this? And my mum went, you have something to tell you. You're disabled.
So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of You Must Be Joking with myself, Willie Wee.
And me, Eric Lawler, in conjunction with
Joe.ie
and
The Laughter Lounge.
Yes.
And this week's guest is
all the way from
Belfast.
It is the one and only
William
S.
Thompson.
Hey! That's
very impressive. It's like Anton Deck. I love that.
Anto and Deco.
Yeah. Anto and Deco in tracksuits. Yeah, yeah. Anto and Deco. Oh, Jesus. That'd this is a great sketch idea.
Isn't it?
Sorry, William.
No, go ahead. You run with it.
We'll do that. Anto and Deco.
Yeah.
As opposed to Anton Deck. Just going up, you know, presenting.
Yeah.
Shows, but being a tracksuit and all.
Yeah.
Love that.
Brilliant.
See, I mean, you know that Irish actor, Andrew Scott. He's won loads of stuff, awards recently, and he's starting to come into Hollywood films. And I saw a meme the other day on Instagram, and it was spot on. He said, if Ant and Deck had a love child, he's exactly Andrew Scott.
He's got that forehead.
Yeah. And he also has the boyish Deck looks as well, kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? He's an absolute... Quiff.
Do you remember years ago there used to be an ad in the telly, William? I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 27.
I was only a baby.
You wouldn't remember this. So it was the Tefal ad for Tefal Kettles and Toasters. But they were all, and they all had big, huge foreheads.
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember that
ad?
So I'm just thinking, is that probably generational? Was that one of Anton Deck's great-great-grandfathers?
Ancestors. Done that? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. That's where Deck
because they have got a whole lot of head. They actually wash their faces with bath towels.
What?
That's what they wash their face
oh,
with.
Oh, instead of towels. No, right. Because their faces were that big. Right. Oh, man.
I love this for every joke that's
welcome welcome to catch up with Willie Wee and Eric Lawler.
Keep up. William S. Thompson. William, just to introduce you to our guest, you're one of the comedians, one of an army of comedians up there who's absolutely killing it everywhere. Yeah. You do your stand-up, you do the podcast with Shane Todd, who's been a previous guest. You also have your own podcast, Mudblood.
With Paddy McDonald, who's also on here.
Paddy was on as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the one thing me and Will I love about the whole scene up north is it's incredible. We can't get over it. Like, the amount of support you lads get from the local community.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, everywhere you go, you're so... Like, we're looking at Paddy, we're looking at Shane, we're looking at you now as well.
Yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
Doing arenas, Mickey Barlett and all, doing arenas, and we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it must be amazing to have that.
I wish we could explain why it is. We don't know, but it's great. We're certainly not complaining about it. Like,
you've tapped into something there for sure.
It's I genuinely, this is the reason I think it is we're all friends and we all share each other's stuff. We all jump on each other's stuff. There, you know, there's competitiveness.
Of course.
As there should be. But there's no undercutting each other. There's no, I won't have him on. I don't like that guy, so fuck him. I won't gig with him.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
Right.
We're all just friends.
Basically, it's like you all break bread with each other.
Yeah.
100%.
It's like there's enough cake here for everybody. Who
the
wants
only
a
ones they, the only ones they would have a problem with is us from the south.
I don't think so.
I think there's good camaraderie. Like, we're just obviously, you know, it's the other side of the border and all that. But I mean, and I'm not just saying it because William's here, and I wouldn't know him that well. I'll be 100% honest. But there's always a warmth and there's always a niceness when I go up north and meet other comics, whether it's Colin Geddes, whether it's Shane, whether it's Paddy, whether it's yourself, Colin Murphy,
Mickey
Bartlett, to name but a few. There's never any animosity. It's like, look at lads, we're all drinking from the same water trough.
I think the way we look at it, if we're, because there's no, like, you know, clubs per se. There's nights that are on and there's like Laveries and Empire, but there's no chains. So there's no like competitiveness.
Yeah.
For spots. So
hierarchy and all that kind of stuff, and middle spots, low spots, high headliner. Yeah, I know what you
all
mean.
Friends. Yeah. So we want
because we're all in that business together now, we want everyone to do well.
Yeah.
We don't want to be like, oh, he's dying. Good. Fuck him. I can take his spot.
yeah.
It's okay. He's killing. Then if we have four killers on, people are going to come back.
Yeah. Of course.
Whereas if you go to a comedy night and three are shite and one's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to that.
Yeah.
But if four people are brilliant, fuck yeah, you need to go see that. It was brilliant from start to finish.
That's very interesting, isn't it, Will?
Very, very interesting.
Because, like, I mean, I think there is that element in clubs, not just in Dublin, but everywhere else, bar the north.
UK, I see it a lot more than I would here.
Yeah.
They're like sharks, man. The minute you're slipping up, they're quick to jump in on you.
Oh, I'll tell you about it.
I think it's like when you go and you're on a lineup and you look at the lineup for the weekend and you go, brilliant. Yeah. I'm walking with me mates.
Yes.
And then come out, we all go to a gig sometimes and you look at the lineup and you ring your mate and you go, such and such is on. And we've all done it. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like a walk case scenario on a building. So like if three lads are going to do a job, like, and the boss sends you bleeding special Steve or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you ring up your mate and you go, fucking he's with us today, like.
Yeah.
But no, just kind of, you know, looking at each other going, do you know what I'm saying? Because there is that as well. Yeah. But
no,
I mean,
you're like, I'm in the grim room with this dickhead and he's just back from holiday. Oh, he's gonna talk about that for fucking ages.
Yeah. But I mean, on the whole, everything is really kosher, isn't it? Like it's always good.
Yeah. William, Shane obviously is like fucking, he's like a behemoth of comedy now. Like, when I was talking to him that time, like, he sells out in Australia, in America.
Yeah.
You know, all over Northern Ireland and down, like, he's doing the Olympia, like yourself, in this autumn.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see that. I'm not, like, you're on his podcast as a regular guest, but that's what you're popping up my feed all the time.
Yeah.
Do you think this, William?
You get sick of seeing my face.
But you're obviously there for a reason, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You contribute. And do you think, obviously, being on that has helped your own career?
I would owe my entire career to, this is what I love about our scene back home. I owe my entire career to the people who were established before me.
Right.
And who gave me opportunities. I'm under no illusions about that. I'm not like, oh, I did it myself. No, Shane, Patty, Colin, Mickey, not for them, I wouldn't have the job I have. Yeah. I wouldn't be in the position.
It's great that you can sit here and you can say that. And it's like a lot of comics, if you hadn't got kind of like your forefathers going ahead of you and giving you the knowledge and, you know, probably the odd time coming off stage and throwing you a line and saying, look, why don't you try this? Why don't you, you know, and that's the stuff that works, like, because as we just talked about a couple of minutes ago, there's room for many and more, like, do you know what I mean?
100%. And it's, then I try, like, I'll try my best to be nice to newer comics too, because people don't forget. Oh, when you start comic, you'll get one guy that's a dickhead to you.
And you'll always remember.
10 years on, I'm like, I'll see him, but I fucking hate you.
Yeah. And I mean,
don't forget it.
And come here, you don't know how well anybody is going to do.
Yeah.
That you're sharing a stage with. And I know we've all seen people in their infantry stages and kind of went, oh, Jesus. And then you come back and you walk with them a couple of years later and you're going, fuck.
Did you say in their infantry stages?
Yeah.
Well, did you in the army, did he?
No, but you know what
in
I'm saying.
In their infancy. As infants.
Sorry. I'm from Eric.
I was like, what?
Eric.
What?
I'm from fucking Ballymore, for fuck's sake. Sounded all right. I'd have got away with that.
But now I'm thinking, that's actually brilliant because infantry would. You're right. Infantry would.
Yeah, because they're in the army. They have to join the comedy army.
Where'd you say from Ballymoon?
Ballymoon, yeah.
Where is that rough? I'm very.
Come here, it's rough as fuck. So it's basically beside the airport. If you got off when you used to fly into Dublin Airport, if you can ever remember, there used to be big blocks of flats. It's kind of like the Divis flats, but with makeup on it.
I get you.
Yeah, it was the biggest flat complex in the. In the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Wasn't it originally built or something for the pilots and air hostesses?
Do you
something?
Know they took some of it down and they sent it over to an Eastern European country?
Yeah.
So there's like a block of 8 stories somewhere.
I
actually have a piece of the flats in a glass case at home on a shelf.
Honestly,
really? Honestly,
when they were knocking them down, were you leaving?
I just went in when they were knocking them down and just scooped a bit of it up and I got a glass case and I have it with me because it's part of my life, like.
Yeah, I get you.
I grew up in that environment, like, it's concrete.
It made you who you are, Will. You know what I mean? It defines it, doesn't it? Like, your childhood does define who you become as a person.
Oh yeah. Are you flats or houses growing up?
I came from an estate. I lived in a few estates around the time, very
moving about. I think I live in a flat once or twice.
Right.
But yeah, I grew up in East
moving
Belfast.
About, William, what were you on the run or something?
May as well have been just. Yeah. I grew up and there was four or five of my brothers and sisters and we were fucking just wrecking the place. Right. So we constantly had to move house and stuff and then ended up growing up in a place called Tullycarnet, which is a rough enough, you know.
Right.
They're very busy this time of year, put it that way. Big bonfire right. being built.
So come in, I ask you as well, is it, how many of you is there in the family? Like,
oh, so in total, I think I'm one of nine.
You think
it's a big family?
It's one of those situations where all different moms and dads.
Right,
very much a pick and mix.
Okay, right.
We're like Pokeballs. We're all over the place.
Right.
I mean, I think the count is at nine.
Right. And okay. That's your actually all right as well. Because
yeah.
if you fucking really need them, they're your family. And if you don't.
I fuck them. Like, yeah.
You know what
they're
I mean?
My family if I'm in trouble. But come around Christmas, I'm like, I haven't seen him in 6 months. Fuck him. You're getting nothing.
So come here. This podcast will go out. This will be going out on the 11th of July.
The eve of your
the
big day.
The eve of the 12th, which is a big day up north.
It is.
William, your memories as a child growing up of that particular day and what was it like? What was it like for you personally?
So, you know, you can guess by my name what side of the divide I'm on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, William Thompson is.
Come here, listen, and we, like, look, come here, we fucking moved on from all that, the whole lot, and we don't care whether you fucking support Rangers or you support Celtic or you support anybody you support. It's fucking, it's great that there's kind of that level kind of playing field where we're all like, look, it was what it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's great.
What is
it? See, I'm not all of that. I'm sort of the generation.
Yeah.
After the Good Friday Agreement.
So it was 97, which was the year after I was born.
Ah.
Do you know what I mean? But I wasn't.
So, so you wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
the good
or bad as it was.
But no, I would have voted no. But so you know, I didn't grow up in it. I very much grown up in the remnants of it.
Yeah.
But I'm of the generation. It's weird if you really give a fuck.
Yeah.
And what about your old man? What was his? Like, obviously, he's probably told you what it was like before.
Yeah. Well,
was he William as well?
He was William as well. But yeah. he was what? 17, 18 when I was born, so he's not, you know, he wasn't born again.
Yeah.
Roy, how old are you, old man?
He's only 44.
About 44, 45.
Fucking hell, I'm 10 years older than him.
Oh, yeah. Talk to a child here. Like, if you need to go toilet or anything, like, just put your hand up there, William, my baby.
Need to go poo, just that.
Got nappy on, I'll be fine.
So your dad was a young man when you were born.
Yeah,
my mum was not much older either. I'm not too sure. I'm not. Right. I genuinely can't.
Right.
But like, they didn't grow up in like 60s, 70s Belfast.
Right.
So I don't really have as much knowledge as like Paddy would of it.
Yeah.
Because he was born in it.
Yeah.
I'm very much in the remnants of it. So going to the 12th for me, it's like, weirdly as it sounds, because I know a lot of people say it is like a hate fest. For me, it's like a family fun day, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, because you wouldn't know.
It's like an electric picnic for Protestants.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, it is. Genuinely, like, everyone sees this, like, oh, you go because you hate Irish people. I'm like, nah, I go because they let you do coke in the street for some reason. I don't know why we're allowed.
So it's like any day down in Dublin.
Yeah. It's just Tuesday.
Hey, did any of you see that video that's going around at the moment of your man coming out of his apartment and opening up the lift shaft?
No.
Oh yeah, and imagine that, and the place is wrecked. It's just he looks like he's homeless or something. But
I'll show you after the
eyes are bulging out of his
head.
So
he opens up he goes out and you see him open. He's in an apartment block somewhere in Dublin, and he goes out and he hears a noise, but he has an Allen key to open the lift, the lift that's in the. And when he opens it, the lift is smashed up, and there's a fella standing in it like this, right? With one shoe on, no sock, right? And he's no nose.
Yeah,
he has a bandage across his nose. So it's say if he was snorting coke, he'd have to snort her off the wall, right? So, and he's going, what's going on here? And the man's going, what do you mean, what's going on? He goes, he might have been kidnapped. He says, what do you mean you have to be kidnapped? You're in a lift shaft.
Yeah.
You know, like, where am I? He goes, you're in, I can't even talk, my mouth's all dry. Yeah, man has no nose. Like, I'm looking at him and, there's no nose.
Yeah. It was just, and he was like,
probably someone went like that, look where I am. And didn't give it back to him.
That's, anyway, getting off the topic of taking drugs in the Dublin lift.
Yeah.
Let's get back over to William here. William, so great. I'm glad that you're not tainted by the troubles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so like, this is the thing we've asked Shane, we've asked Paddy and all that. Like, obviously, if you're from a certain community up there, right, you have to leave that at the back. You have to leave that at the door when you go in. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't. Although, what I do remember, Willa, you were up in Belfast on Tuesday, weren't you, doing the Empire?
It was. My opening line in Belfast was on Tuesday, as you can tell by my accent, I'm Catholic.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what I mean? Nice. I mean, it gets a giggle, it gets a laugh. Yeah. Like, but I mean, any comedy club I've gigged in up the north has been really, really good. I remember doing a gig years ago in a bleeding, the only way to describe it was a raw club on the Falls Road. Me and Kevin Gildee.
Oh, yeah.
And I fucking died on my arse. Like, and I don't know. And it was just one of them ones when I finished, like, it was like, start the car and get me the fuck out of here. That was the worst gig I ever had up there.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, that's mad. Yeah, yeah.
I had a nightmare this week. On Wednesday there, I was hosting Loveries. And I was just doing a bit of crowd work. And I have a stock line I use when you ask someone a question and they go, me? So this girl, she was over from America. She was doing a counter-terrorism unit in Queens. Don't know why she came to us. But then she was like, I was like, oh, how you finding it here? And she went, oh, me? And I went, the person I'm making full eye contact with? Yeah, I'm talking to you. And then she just held up a cane. She was fucking blind.
Oh, no! Bang!
Joking.
Blind. So the crowds call it, be like, you bastard.
Oh, no.
I'm scrambling to save it. I was like,
in your defense, how would you know?
I made it worse because I went, I didn't know Daredevil was in. That didn't help.
Brilliant.
So then I just went, fuck it, I'm away. I'm left the stage. Freaked out, went to high five her. She didn't see it.
Oh, God.
I just made it so much worse.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant, William.
So you ain't kicked a Labrador on the way. Yeah. Yeah.
I all but stole her glasses on the way out. Like, I might go. I just made it so much worse.
Yeah, she never seen that coming. What?
And, like, it was. So, was that at the start of the gig, the middle of the gig, because you were hosting?
Yeah, it was. I think it was as I was bringing the hit. I was bringing on Geddes, so it was in the second half.
Okay, so it wasn't too bad. It wasn't like you had the rest of the gig to do.
No, no, I was finishing up anyway, and it was one of those, like, thank fuck that happened there. Because if that was the opener,
yeah,
the crowd hates me now. I'm not getting away with that.
Whatever happened to the skinny fella that used to do the sketches with Geddes? When he used to do I Am Fighter?
I think I was Dan Watson. I don't know. He was gone by the time I started. So I don't know.
Yeah, they were great sketches.
Oh, they were great. Yeah, Geddes' sketches are fucking incredible.
William, obviously we had to do a little bit of homework on you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, it's all about the research, Will, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah.
You don't just turn up and be brilliant. You have to do a bit of work for it.
That's a lot more than I ever do, doing this.
When I say we do research, it's usually the producer that hands us a note and goes, here, read that. And Holly has given us a bit of information about your dad, actually, that you do a bit of stand-up about.
Yes.
And we touched on it briefly there, and he was only a young man.
Yeah.
But also, he had another job.
Yes. Yes, he was a farmer of sorts.
He was a farmer of sorts.
Farmer,
agriculture. Agriculture.
High five! Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
Dr. Feelgood, that's my name.
But you openly talk about it in your stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, which I don't know how he feels about because we don't have a good relationship, we don't talk, so okay. I have no fucking idea how he feels about me talking about
it. Doesn't matter to you.
But yeah, he used to sell a bit of weed, used to grow a bit of it.
So, like, was it something you were aware of as a child? Or
no.
You found out?
To the point when I found out, I remember my mum being like, oh, we assumed you knew.
Right.
I was like, what? And she was like, oh yeah, like it was in the shed. Like,
yeah, we didn't try and hide it.
Yeah, we were like, you're not an idiot. We thought you openly knew. And I was like, no, I've been paying fucking 50 quid to Jesus.
Could we get a family in the shed? Like,
you were knocking four doors down for it. And you have a fucking grow house out the back.
I'm fucking getting the bus into the middle of the estate to go and get a bag. And turns out it's just in the back garden.
My dad's the Walter Bleeding White of Newton Arts and I'm going across the way to get it.
I just thought he had loads of dozy mates. I had no idea.
And that he liked sweets.
Yeah. I blame that for me being such a fat kid because my dad smoked a bit of weed and order a Chinese at 12:30 and wake me up to have some. So I'd wake up one in the morning on a school night and have a full Chinese and I'd go back to bed.
Oh, I love that. Love that. Come here, look, your relationship with your dad is what it is, as you say at the moment. But come here, is he still dealing?
Probably.
Yeah, you wouldn't have his Instagram account, be interested. Yeah. For next time I'm up north. But like, just to touch on what Willa said there, I know I would totally agree with it. Like, we all have our favourite spots where we love gigging, you know? Yeah. And I have to say, north, up north, and And it's weird just to label it the North. But I'm talking about anywhere in the North. I've done gigs in Derry. I've done gigs even in Donegal. I know it's the Republic, but whatever. Newry, Belfast. Everywhere that I've gigged up there, there's always this warmth, this happiness, this, like, it's a beautiful, for me, it's one of my favourite places to do gigs.
Yeah.
It's up in Ulster. Yeah. I don't know what it is about the people. There's just something they must put in the water. They're beautiful people and we're friends for life. I love them. I love the North. So I have a tour show coming to Belfast. No, I'm joking.
I done a tour, a support act with Jake O'Kane on his tour there a few years ago. So I was his support. He used me. And we done a load of gigs all around the North, you know, all over the place. They were great.
I did the same with Murph, Colin Murphy. We did. Went around the North.
Love Murph.
Yeah.
And he was on the other night, yeah.
We went around, I think I said this on the podcast a few episodes ago, but I actually did Cookstown on Monday on the 12th of July, and the theatre was rammed. And I was like, geez, I didn't think there'd be that many here, Murph. And he goes, hey, everyone here is a Fenian.
Oh, yeah.
because they want to get away from that. So they're all in here watching me. I don't think they even want to see me. They just want to get away from all that.
Like, I'm actually going on a stag do over this year's 12th.
Right.
And the flights to get out of Belfast, they're fucking extortionate.
Of course.
Because people want away.
To leave, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I go to it and I enjoy it. Yeah. I fully get why you're not into it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I would go to Pride Parade, love Pride. If you're a guy who's not comfortable with it, I fully get why you're not going to go.
Or if you don't like taking her in the face.
Yeah.
But I had a parade, there's going to be a flute.
Yay! Get that.
1-0.
Someone's going to be banging on your back door.
And William, one of the facts that I got on the sheet, on your fact sheet.
Yeah.
This blew me mind. Something you found out when you were 14.
Yeah.
Tell me. Tell us all.
John, I talk about this flat out.
I would love to hear this.
That I have cerebral palsy.
What?
Yeah.
The fuck?
That shocks a lot of people.
It does because, like...
It's not immediately obvious.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, because of where I grew up, my mum was very particular in not letting people know I was disabled. Because, you know, we'd get bullied for it. So she taught me how to hide my disability.
Wow.
That's why I sound the way I do. Because I come from an estate, I speak quite poshly. I enunciate my words.
Oh, you're well spoken.
If you notice when I say O's, you can see my jaw being pushed forward. And the reason I speak for that was years of speech therapy.
So, like, elocution and
I had to do years of that. Because, you know, if you've ever been to Belfast, you know, most people sound like they've cerebral palsy anyway.
And talk really fast.
I'm talking out there. There's been out in Dublin too.
There is.
Any square triangle. So the reason I don't sound like that is because I have to move my jaw.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And like, so this conversation, when you found out, you said you were 13 when you found out.
Yes.
Was that the conversation? So, saw me something to tell you. Do you think you were adopted?
So here's how I found out was I had trials for my school football team, right? I'd never known, so I just always played football and had never known I was disabled. I had trials for my school football team. The coach called me in. He went, listen, you're not in the school football team. But he handed me a letter that was from the IFA and it said Northern Ireland on the top. So I thought I was getting scouted for the Northern Ireland, like under 15s. Opened it and it said Northern Ireland cerebral palsy team. And I was like, what the fuck's this? And my mum went, you have something to tell you. You're disabled.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And like, so I was like, I'm going to be an international footballer. I'm like, I am. But also, stirs are difficult.
Yeah.
It was a weird moment. I was like, why the fuck would you not tell me? And her attitude was, she thought if I knew, I would use it as an excuse.
So
she was like, you just work harder to be on the same level as everyone else.
So why did you think for them amount of years that you were going to the speech therapy and that? Did you think?
Well, when you're, you know, you're 3 or 4, you think everyone does it.
Yeah.
You know, you think everyone goes to the physio.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You think everyone does speech therapy. You think everyone's that has 8 mates in the kitchen at one time.
I went through a phase as a child where I was eating paper all the time, right? Paper, just paper. And I was eating toilet roll. My ma was fucking, she was broken as a woman, financially and spiritually, because her eldest son, when she brought home 4 new rolls of Andrex toilet roll, were in 2 days, they were gone, and nobody's arse was wiped.
So what did you have for your dinner? Did you have origami and chips?
Yeah.
Did it wipe your arse on the way out as well?
Yeah, this is it. This is it. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know what I mean? But It was, and you see, there was cereal boxes. I'd tear them off. I'd get a little bit of sugar and I'd chew on the cardboard and fire lighter boxes because the little bit of...
I used to smoke cardboard.
No, did you? Yeah.
Like brown cardboard.
Yeah.
Light the end of it and suck it through the holes like that.
No, it isn't.
And you were saying
you had a chest infection.
Cardboard gangster.
But I remember me ma brought me down to a psychiatrist in the Mata Hospital. And I was like 9 or 10 or whatever, and I remember seeing the word psychiatrist on the wall.
Written in paper.
And I turned to my man and I said, "Ma, I'm not stupid. What have you got me down here seeing the psychiatrist for?" She was like, "What? The psychiatrist?" I said, "Ma, it's not wrong with me." "Yeah, well, we'll soon find out." And I went in, I spoke to the psychiatrist for 15, 20 minutes. She just asked me loads of questions. And then my ma came in and he was like, There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with him. I think he's normal. And if anything, it's full of fibre and it's good for him. Like, you know, he'll just go in and out of him. And that was it. But I understand. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you're young and you get brought to these places.
Yeah, it's not weird.
You just assume it as part of growing up.
I just thought, oh yeah, everyone gets that.
Yeah,
you don't realise that it's abnormal or... Because I had to do physiotherapy, speech therapy, a lot of different kinds of doctors. So I'd be in the hospital 5 times a week, like as a kid. And then a lot, like as you get older, the government kind of goes, "Yeah, you're just disabled. You can fuck off."
Yeah.
Once you turn 18, they're like, "We don't give a fuck."
I used to be locked up with a fella, and he used to eat batteries and bed springs just so he could get out and over to the hospital all the time.
No way,
honest to God, yeah, fella from Fingers. I'm not going to name him because a lot of people have known him.
Batteries and bed springs.
Good thing you don't name them so no one's going to know.
It sounds like a Mary Poppins film, doesn't it?
Yeah,
batteries and bed springs.
Doorknobs and broomsticks.
But that's what he used to do, yeah. All the batteries. And he used to be walking down the wing and someone would go, hey.
Those are the batteries, AAA.
he used to be in hospital for a lot of the spring. No, but that's what he used to do. He used to do that and take him out of the hospital and be in hospital.
I was only in the mat that there.
Did they ever sneeze and change the TV channel?
my mate says, are they recharged with batteries? Maybe you should be getting charged for eating them.
It was charged.
6 month sentence.
But the thing is, the Mata Hospital is just directly across the road from Mountjoy Prison.
Right.
Literally. Dublin, literally across the road. And I was in the Mata there a few weeks ago with my dad. He was getting checked up for something. And normally when I'm sick, there's different hospitals in Dublin you go to. When you're on the north side, I tend to go to Beaumont Hospital. But I've been there for most of my things that have been wrong with me over the years. But I went down to the Mata Hospital with my dad because that's where he goes. And it was a real eye-opener because I saw prisoners... 3 or 4 of them in the waiting room with the guards handcuffed to them and all. You're like, holy shit, now I know what they're in with. They're eating bed springs and batteries.
Have you ever had any bad stuff happen to you over the years as a kid? Ended up in hospital, William?
I was in and out of it that much that I would fall a lot as a kid and smash my face. But because you get so used to doing that now that I'm, you know, you could hack the pain of it. I do remember one time going to the dentist. Because my teeth, these teeth, right, were coming through, but the baby ones were starting to protrude.
Right.
So they weren't ready to come out, but they were starting to come. So the dentist just went to my mum, "We're just going to have to rip these out." And she was like, "Oh, we can't take painkillers or whatever." And he went, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just do it." And I was 8 years old, and he just got them and just fucking yoinked them out. Like that. But because I was...
With no painkillers.
No painkillers.
No, because you see your pain threshold.
My pain threshold is insane.
Okay.
Insane.
You could have a baby, no problem.
Oh, yeah. No bother, yeah.
And not whinge about it. I'm joking.
We'll eat a curry.
Yeah.
Cutting the grass.
Yeah.
Putting the bins out as well.
So because I think I just have grown to have an insane amount of tolerance for pain.
Myself and Willie were speaking about you before you arrived. Obviously, not in a bad way. We're going, William, and Holly, our producer, also mentioned it. And you said you have a likeness to Adam Rowe.
Yes.
Who was our second guest of this series, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
We had Adam on the podcast and he's a great fella, as you know. And another, a man who has just gone through the roof with stardom. Yeah.
Absolute fucking killer as well.
Unbelievable. So and I haven't really seen much of your stand-up now, William, in fairness, but people liking your stand-up to his kind of thing in a way that it's just similar.
Which is so weird because he's great, but he was never an influence. He was from Liverpool, I was from Belfast.
Yeah.
So I'd never seen him.
Yeah. he wasn't implying that you were copying him.
No, I know. But I mean, it would make sense that if I was like, he was a big influence.
Yeah.
But weirdly, no. Like, I hadn't seen a lot of him until I went to see him a few times. I was like, oh yeah, we do have a similar sort of, he's very punchy.
Yes.
Like, I borderline ADHD. I can't listen to long stories.
Okay.
See, when people do a long story, I'm like, I know where it's going.
Right.
And a part of me's going, fucking
get there.
Yeah, get there. Oh, it turns out it's not his house. I fucking know. Right? So I then can't do long stories because I'm bored halfway through it. So I feel his is the same, like just very punchy. I don't think I have a bit that goes longer than 2 minutes.
Really?
I just get fucking bored.
Okay.
So, and I think he's kind of the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar style, very punchy stuff.
It's rattling gun material. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Whereas with us, sometimes it's a bit of a story and then a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wind it up. Come on.
Whereas I don't think I go more than, I would say, 30 seconds without a punchline to me. Feels like an eternity.
Amazing.
I need a laugh in there.
Yeah.
Otherwise I go, oh, they're not listening to me anymore.
Okay, yeah. Right. So, like, you're obviously grown and you're getting bigger and bigger up in the north, William, and as I said, like, it's brilliant to see. We love the lads up there. A lot of time for them. Good people. So have you gigged much down south?
Weirdly, no. I think the Laughter Lounge is one of the only gigs I've done in Dublin.
Yeah.
Now, I've done it with Shane. I've done the Olympia.
Right.
And I did the Olympia with David Cross.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've done Galway a couple of times with Carl Spain.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have not done... I would love to do more down south.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to get in.
It would give you the context after here.
That would be very kind.
But also the fact that he's now selling out arenas, he's going, you can't pay me enough down there to get me down there. Like,
The North is such a weird thing. You could do 2,000 people, in the waterfront, and then you go fucking Cork and you're like, no one knows who you are.
Exactly.
I get that as well. Yeah, yeah. Of this weird thing where you're like well known but skint.
Yeah.
So you're eating a Burger King alone, but everyone in the restaurant's looking at you. It's a weird fucking position.
Yeah, it's mad. Like, I sold out the Olympia 8 months in advance, and I'm doing a gig down in Kerry, and I think there's 9 tickets sold for it.
It's so weird.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's so weird. You have to be, like, I just find you have to be either your man off the telly or your man. There has to be something to you. A lot of the times when you're doing gigs in this country.
Yeah.
You know, Irish people just won't take it on word of mouth. He's a brilliant comedian.
Yeah.
You go, no, he hasn't been on the telly or he hasn't.
Yeah, so he must be shit.
You know, and it's stupid because, I mean, when we used to run that club in Ballymun, look, a lot of the acts that we got, like, for example, Sarah Milliken came and done a gig and, like, it didn't sell out.
At the time,
she
was massive, she was starting to get there. But
do you feel that's changing a little bit, the TV credit?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's not as maybe as influential and powerful as it used to be.
Yeah.
Like, remember, like,
a good viral clip, I think, is worth.
Yes.
This is way more than being on David 12 at night.
Yes.
And I present to you here the king of viral, William.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, your clips from podcasts, other podcasts, and your clips. Remember the wedding gig you did?
Yeah.
That video, someone that doesn't even know, randomly filmed a set on a phone, put it out there. And Willie didn't even realise what was going on.
No, my daughter rang me. My daughter called me. She said, a clip going around you about on a wedding. And I was like, what? And then she rang me up like half an hour later. She goes, there's 25,000 views on this. And then it just kept going up and up and up.
And went through the roof.
And I'm like, it's like, you know when you're kind of doing it yourself, it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, you don't kind of...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I totally agree with you, William. I think that social media and social platforms can elevate you a lot quicker than a television thing. Definitely.
I mean, you know, I'm under 30. I don't fucking watch TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And even people who watch it, no one's watching the same stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. And anyone that watches TV watches Netflix.
Yeah.
Or watches Bleeding, something to go. Look, the only thing I really watch on telly would be if I'm on Channel 4 and I watch something like 24 Hours in Police Custody.
And Fair City.
Thanks, Willie. Because it's on Channel 4.
but William, obviously you said you haven't gigged down here much. You do the laugh. How did you find the laugh? How did you find Dublin people and all that? Did it transfer? That was okay?
Lovely, yeah. I tend to find that, you know, when you're from an estate, that's universal.
Isn't that the level I will?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And like you know, if I'm doing a gig in Northern Ireland, I'll do some colloquial stuff. But I always hate when people are like, oh, when you go elsewhere, what do you talk about? I'm not talking about Belfast for fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
I do other stuff. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
So, do you know, like, a lot of the stuff is transferable.
100%.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, being from the state, a lot of the stuff, the same stuff happens.
So, they identify with it.
And even if you are going to do stuff about working class estates, you just find out when you go to where you're going, where's the shitholes here?
Yes.
And you just, and once you bring that in and you have a little bit a local knowledge, I think the audiences actually love you for that, because he found out where the shithole is.
100%. Well, to back up what Will I said, remember we went to Edinburgh, we were doing Edinburgh, when I did a gig in Edinburgh in the Stand or whatever.
West of Hales.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was so I'd say I'm from a place in Dublin called Ballymun, which has been twinned with West of Hales here in Edinburgh, and straight away the Edinburgh crowd go, hey! So I'm over here on a scumbag exchange programme. Do you know what I mean?
Glasgow's like Easter House or the Gobbles. Yeah.
The Gobbles, you know, they just immediately go, I know that. One of the best pieces of advice for like doing a city you've never been in, I got from Louis C.K. Let me pick that name up.
Whoa!
I know.
Okay.
But he was like,
he didn't jizz all over you when he said it, did he?
He didn't. No, he didn't. I didn't let him. He did it. I was like, what was it like? Is Robin Williams nice in person? But he was like, when he's in a city he's never been to, he just walks around it with no headphones on for like an hour. He just walks around
and just takes it all in.
Takes it in, sees kind of the vibe.
Goes into all the knocking shops.
No, that's an do you know, bizarrely, I saw Louis C.K. in Dublin die on his arse.
Really?
And it was the Ivy Gardens Comedy Festival years ago.
Murph has told me about this.
I was at that gig when Dez was on, and Dez was at the height of his powers here, superstar shit, you know? And he was the last act on. So most of the people in that tent were what I call Dez's fans, Dez disciples.
Right. Hey.
And they were like mostly young women.
Or were they all in designated areas?
You better believe it.
Did they do well?
Desolated.
They all descended.
Louis C.K. went on, and obviously
getting desperate. All the comics. 20 more minutes.
Yeah, we don't even have 20 more minutes of these puns. Dez.
She's desperate.
Dez was closing, and then Louis C.K. went on. And obviously, a lot of the comics went in to see him. Louis C.K. is fucking amazing, you know. And he went on, and he started doing something. We were laughing, but the girls, all the people that were at the gig, the Dez teeny boppers and all that, they were like, you know, they were like fixing the makeup and doing the hair and chatting to each other, like, you know, as if your man was just kind of. An interval act, just to keep things going until the main act came on. And I think after about 5 or 6 minutes, Louis C.K. realised that nobody was kind of listening to him. Now, we were even laughing extra hard just to give him that support. Going, ha, 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 Louis, we love it. That's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Ha, ha, they don't deserve you. and he could just see the spirit drain out of him. And I think he was supposed to do 20, 25 minutes, and he ended up doing probably 13, 14 and just pulled it because he just knew. It was horrible. I mean, I felt so embarrassed for him because you know the quality he has, you know. And then Dez only had to walk out on stage and the place was like, screaming, like bleeding.
And that's one of those gigs, you know, he's done the 25 minutes in, like everything he had planned, he's done that in 12.
Because
you're just powering through it.
Yeah. 100%.
Tripping over jokes and everything.
And I think he
it's like you go into the joke attic in your head, don't you, when it goes like that. And then you're drinking water and it's like sand.
Yeah.
Your mouth just can't get wet.
Yeah, when you find yourself going, what else?
Yeah. Where's the gold?
You try doing crowd work and they're like, don't you fucking pull me into the quicksand with you.
You're looking for gold and all you can find is fucking lead. Where's the gold?
I did a very weird gig this morning, actually, William, would you believe? This morning.
Oh, that's not a time for comedy.
I was asked, a friend of ours, great comic, Colm O'Regan, he runs a comedy team called Inns Jokes, and it's down in Kilmainham, but he's doing this new thing on the first Friday or last Friday of every month in the morning, he will do it in that pub, but it's for infants and their parents. So when I went down to the venue was there, it was packed. I have a picture, I'll show you afterwards. In the front bar, it was just buggies everywhere, right? Prams everywhere. And then you go in and it's packed. But there's a big mat in front of the stage. There's all these babies crawling around on the mat. And you had to go out and do 20. Me and Damien Clark were on. And we had to do 20 minutes each of kind of child, parent, you know. But they didn't mind in the end. You could swear it as well. The babies didn't, obviously don't know what you're swearing.
You come here, look at this ugly fucking bastard here.
Who owns that prick?
Yeah.
But it was just, I like it. When I went on stage, I said, this is like doing a gig at Electric Picnic. I said, you walk on stage there's a big gap in front of the stage, there's loads of people crawling around, they're incoherent and pooing themselves. and that got me off and running, like, you know. But yeah, so the Louis C.K. thing, he failed. I think he went very public with that. I think he wrote a blog post or something about how he died in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I felt ashamed almost to be a part of that, like, you know, even though I was trying to laugh along. And
yeah, Murphy told me about that too.
It was a car crash. It was horrible. Someone of his quality, like, you know, and you're kind of going, will he ever come back here?
You know
again?
What death is legendary when other people are talking about it?
I know.
You're like, you know, you've had a bad one when you, like, other people have heard about it. You go, I had a rough one the other week, and they're like, yeah, I fucking heard you did. That's when you know it's been rough.
Yeah.
You hear about it as it's happening sometimes.
Yeah.
I done a gig one night in Inchicore, and it was in, no, it wasn't Inchicore, it was along the canal there, you know where the Marble Arch Bar is, where.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Yeah.
And there was a microphone, right? But it only came over the bar like that, right? So you had to stand. It came about a foot over the bar. So you're like this talking, right? And I said to your man, what's the story? He goes, no, that's the length of the microphone, lid. So you're literally leaning into the bar like that. So I was trying to talk to people. It was like I was having a stroke and I was looking like this. And I noticed there was blood on the ceiling, right? And I says, what's the story with the blood on the ceiling? And some bloke rose up. That was from last week's comedian.
Was it?
Good night.
I've had to do gigs before where you're like at a wedding and you're on before the DJ, and the only mic they have is hooked up to the DJ's.
Oh, stop me.
So every time you talk, the lights are going. And I'm epileptic too, so I'm just fucking trying to avoid these bastards.
What
like happened? I'm doing like a like Matrix bullet dodge. While down, halfway through, and I'm like, if I take a fit, at least I can go off the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get into them at that point. But yeah, they're so brutal. Something's so weird in that, like, people are like, you just get up and you be funny. You just go to. But it's the slightest thing could ruin it.
Absolutely.
If the roof is too big or the seats are weird,
yeah,
this doesn't work.
Or else the old classic, I do get doing weddings.
Yeah.
The band are setting up behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, did you say, you know, I always make sure when I'm doing comedy that I have a band setting up behind me. Because it just, you know, you're like, for fuck's sake.
I've done a lot of weddings and as well. And what I've gotten braver about it in terms of, right, the money's good, okay. It's like, you know, because it's a wedding and all that. But, and they're like, there can be tankless gigs, like you pointed out, William. So many things could be going wrong at the same time. So for your own ego and your own peace of mind, and you want people to enjoy the gig as well. If a couple comes up to me and says, Eric, will you do me a wedding? I'll go, I will do your wedding, but will you do one thing for me? He says, when the gig is happening, right, I want you, I notice traditionally at every wedding, there's a big dance floor and there's tables all around the dance floor. So they're fucking miles away from the start already.
Yeah.
I said, it only takes me 10-15 minutes to line up a load of chairs on the dance floor in rows as if it's a show. And they were like, what? I'm telling you, please, if you do that for me, I'll do your wedding. Yeah. And they go, right. And then I arrive at the wedding and then they go, Eric, we're just going to take 20 minutes now to do the chairs thing. Do the chairs. And they're all the grannies and the aunties are all sitting in going, what the fuck's going on here? Because a lot of times they don't know the comedian is on, you know. But then when you walk out and they're all in the line, they go, oh, a little impromptu comedy gig. Yeah. And the gigs take off.
That's way better.
And you feel like you've earned your money then. You don't feel like you've...
Sometimes you feel like, I didn't.
Or you feel bad. But when you're
going, I've done it where you have a wireless mic and you're just going through the tables like a fucking singing waiter.
Oh, no, yeah.
Doing crowd work with people who don't know you're there and also don't want to talk to you.
Yes.
Brutal.
Because that's a very valid thing what you just said there. And I do say to people, when they're booking me for their weddings, I say, you think I'm great, but there's a lot of people think I'm shit.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
For every one person that likes you, there's 10 that can't fucking stand you.
I don't do that, Eric. I just walk into the middle. Like yourself, I get the mic with no cordless mic, and I just walk into the middle of the dance floor.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Just play the room as best as you can.
Yeah.
But just make it
easier.
That's
a good idea with the chairs. But I think
that's a brilliant. I'm stealing that. Yeah.
Oh no! I'm trying to. Like, I tell anyone I've spoken to about wedding gigs, I always tell them, listen, it's worth your while. Ask them, because if they really want you, they'll go, do you know what? Yeah. If we want to get them to do it, we should do that.
Yeah.
And then when they see it happen, they go, oh my God, you are so right. And people, it's like a proper gig then. They love it. They're like, Even as you say, because you say there's loads of people at the wedding who don't know there's a comedian. Therefore, they're not fans of you. They haven't invested in comedy.
Yeah.
And they're like, who's this prick ruining our afternoon or evening, whatever.
And there's
like,
some people who weirdly don't like comedy.
Yeah, how am I meant to take
you could bring out Eddie Murphy and they'd be like, I'm here to drink.
Like, yeah.
Fuck off.
And dance the maniac.
I went to do a wedding years ago, I'm not throwing in names again, and was doing a wedding out in Leixlip, and as I was going in to do the wedding,
well, Leixlip's not a big name, fairness.
You're like as a human witness protection program.
As I was going in to do the wedding, there was another comedian leaving the wedding, so I straight away went, smelt a rat, and you know what? It was one of them gigs that I fucking needed a few quid.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, I went in and I says to the woman behind the counter, I says, the bride and groom, anyone here to next? She goes, oh, no, hang on for a minute, I'll try it. And it was his wife that initially booked me for the gig. And I'd say I sat there for about 10 minutes, but I knew the ship had sailed. Do you know what I mean? And then next of all, across from me, the groom, and two of the groom's men were walking past, and I called him. I says, whatever his name is. I says, he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I says, what's the story? What's going on? He goes, oh, did me missus not ring you? And I went, no. I said, she didn't ring me. He says, look, I'm going to go in and get her, and I'll bring her out. We'll sort this out. And do you know what I done then? I got a moment of clarity, and I says to myself, do you know what? This is their wedding day.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to cause any controversy whatsoever. And the minute he went in to get his missus, I just turned and I went and got my car and I drove off.
Yeah. But before...
But not, you know, it was
not before you left the room and pushed the cake over.
It was really horrible.
You're nicer than I would
And
be.
He's not... And come here...
I'm like, I'm going to fuck your
just,
divorce.
Just to say... Pay me? Yeah, come here. Just to say as well, he's not a comedian that was beyond the circuit either. So it wasn't like, you know...
So he swooped in and like undercut you or...
No, I wouldn't tell him. Well, no, because believe it or not, you got more money than I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So how...
Yeah, and I look, come here. I know it's one of them. I'll tell you after,
tell
after
me,
the
yeah.
podcast.
I think what's happened there is the wife obviously saw Willa, wanted to book Willa, and then whatever discussion with the husband or whatever, the husband now, look, tell Willa, great as he is, we'll get someone else in because I have a contact with this other fella. And that's what happened, and the wife forgot to tell Willa, or was probably too scarlet to ring you. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ, when you need a few bob. No, the money was spent, like.
Yeah.
I was driving out, like I wasn't bleeding. You know, like things were kind of a bit tough back then, and I was like, you know, I have it spent on this or that bill, and I went out, and when I seen the minute I seen your man coming out of the hotel, it was like, oh, fuck.
You just got a bad feeling?
I knew straight away, yeah. Me bleeding comedy instincts told me that this fella was just coming off stage, like.
Jesus, that's brutal.
Yeah.
William, you're coming to Dublin with a show, your own show.
Yeah, I'm doing the Sugar Club in Dublin. My first solo show.
Sweet.
What is it? Sugar. I'm so confused.
I'm doing the Sugar. I'm doing the Sugar Club. Sweet Geek.
Oh, sorry. I'm not even funny. I genuinely thought you were speaking Irish. I was like,
I like kneecap as well, yes.
So you're doing the Sugar Club. Is it November?
Yes, in mid-November. I would love to tell you the date. I can't remember.
I might have it here on my phone.
What's the name of the show? Scumbag Millionaire.
Whoa!
Right, name for the show.
That is a fucking showstopper.
Not to give too much away about the show, but it's about my mum passed away when I was 18. I got my inheritance at a young age. Maybe I wasn't the most responsible with it. That's all I can tell you.
Whoa!
No, well, I'm intrigued. Who's responsible with money at 18?
Yeah. Scumbag Millionaire. That's a great name. Great name. Brilliant. It's November 28th, William.
20th, yes. You heard it here.
In the Sugar Club, which is where I did one of my solo shows a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember what it was called.
It's a great venue.
It is.
Yeah, I've heard it's lovely.
Have you been in it?
No. I know a few people that done it, like Vittorio Angeloni did it. Yes, and told me it was lovely. Yeah. So a lot of people said it was nice.
And as you say, Vittorio and these, like, they come down to the Sugar Club, they do that, and then the next time they're in the Olympia and they're in Vicar Street and all that. So it's the first step, William. You're on the way. You're on the way.
Yeah.
But you are a regular in the Laughter Lounge in Dublin as well.
Yes.
So what I would say to the people who go to the Laughter Lounge, check the website. When William S. Thompson is on, go and see him and use the discount code POD25. And you get a 25% discount off the tickets.
POD25.
For your needs. Anyway, but you're also doing a big show on the waterfront.
Yeah, I'm doing the waterfront the 13th of December, which is 2,000 people. So please come see that.
Wow.
Please.
That's amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So, I haven't sold it yet, so please fucking come.
I know, but I mean, come here, William. You wouldn't, or whoever is backing you wouldn't be putting you on if they didn't think you could sell it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what's the biggest solo show you've done so far?
I did the Ulster Hall last year. Which was 1,000.
Amazing. Yeah. And you sold it out.
So, like 4 months in advance.
Brilliant.
Which was insane.
Love that. I love that.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
But the crazy thing is, in Belfast, that's like the 10th biggest thing. You know, there's
you've got loads of great venues arenas up there for that type of gig, haven't you?
Yeah, there's really sort of like a venue for each level.
Yeah,
that you come, you know, you start off in a Limelight, then an Ulster Hall, then a Waterfront, then an Odyssey. It's like,
so you have a checklist.
It's like a game, a console game.
Yeah,
next level.
Next level.
You pass that level.
It's
next
to
level.
The point now. It's like doing the arena isn't even like a dream. It's an expectation of people. Yeah, to be like, are you fucking doing it?
The last level is then halftime at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Come on out and do jokes at Rihanna.
Shane's
got our umbrella.
Speaking
Shane's
of Rihanna,
to the point you're like, I don't even know. Oh,
like how he's too
hard. That was great.
Oh yeah. Good old Paddy McDonald.
I suppose he told that story.
He just said, ask him about that. So basically, the name Rihanna was mentioned, and we should ask William, would he like to explore?
I will tell you that story, yes. So this actually, right, so when I was 14, right, my parents were away on holiday. I had a free house for the first time ever in my life.
Amazing.
Never got one. So I was having a fucking wank in the living room.
As you do.
That's what you do. You're like, where am I not allowed? Because we had a big 50-screen TV. So I, like, but my dad, a man of bizarre morals, will sell weed, have a child lock on the internet.
Okay, right.
So I'm not allowed to see boobs or swearing.
But you can get high.
I can, I can smoke weed, but not hear people say fuck. So I ended up doing what everyone did back in the day, stick on the music video and... Mm-hmm. You know the channels. Hope something good comes on. And Rihanna MTV brought out We Found Love at that time.
That's why it's called MTV. Masturbate TV.
We found love in a hopeless place.
Yeah, so that's a video. She's going about topless now, right? So I'm having a wee, taking the wee man out to Palm Beach. Do you know what I mean?
Yay.
And then my living room door got kicked open, and then stepped a squad of police.
What?
Who were there to raid my dad's house.
Oh, I did not know that was coming. Yeah. Holy shit.
That's how I got,
So that's what the copper said when he came in the door. Didn't know that was coming.
So a raid.
It was a real Uno reverse card. I'm like, ah, now you're the criminal, sir.
Oh, I love a man in uniform.
With the handcuff on that hand. I'll be with you in a minute.
Oh my God, William.
Yeah.
I mean, how traumatic that must have been.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You're like, first of all, you must have heard the doors getting busted in. Yeah.
Every time I see a rat, I'm a buffer. I'm seeing coverage of Dublin in December. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Book it now. I need to go.
Oh, that is fucking brilliant. Yeah. I love that.
I was walking with a fella down in Cork. A mate of mine, when I was walking for a scaffolding company, and one day it lashed out rain, and we all got rained off and he went home, but he's married to this woman. But when he married her, she had a kid. He was only one or something at the time. So he's basically reared him, like. But the young lad isn't walking. He's 19 years of age and he sees the telly on in the house as he pulls up in the van, you know. And he's sneaking up to the window, not to bang on the window because you can see the back of his head. And when he grew up to the window, he was sitting on the sofa like that. He said he went back down the garden. Like,
send him a text. I'm outside.
I am in the house and I'm coming home. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sure
there are... your curtains. Yeah.
Getting ready to go like that. Looking on.
So that's how I didn't know the police were coming. I had my curtains drew. Course, you know, and I'm this is my evening.
Oh man, that is beautiful.
And because it was a riot squad, they don't fucking knock.
No,
the door.
They don't.
You know, they don't sit there and be like, okay, we'll wait for him to answer. No, just kick the door fucking in.
I'll be with you in a minute. Yeah. So, listen, William, we are running out of time here.
Yes.
Have you any questions from any guests this week, no?
Have you questions from any guests?
Or from any people?
Oh, no, we don't. Not this week. Right. But what I will say is, just on what William's spoken about, if you have any embarrassing wanking stories that you'd like to share with the pod, please send them into the Laughter Lounge, to Joe, to me and Willa. You can catch us on Instagram or whatever.
And if you have any videos, especially women, send them to me.
Take him through their living room
Willy
window.
WillyWoy695 gmail.
WillyWatcher.com. Send them to that.
William S. Thompson, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on our
podcast.
Thank
you for having me on, guys.
Not at all. Go listen to this man's podcast, the Mudblood Podcast. He's doing the Sugar Club on November 28th and the Waterfront.
The Waterfront.
Waterfront in Belfast.
I'm also on the Edinburgh Fringe in the Underbelly.
Oh!
Yeah, Scumbag Millionaire. What a brilliant great name for
you've got to go and see that show. William S. Thompson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Gentlemen.